From Insecure to Brave? What?
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Dupree, scouring the globe to bring you stories of courage, passion, and resilience. If I could sum up this podcast into one word, I would use empathy. Now let's get inspired.
Welcome to the Joyous Expansion Podcast. I am your host, once again, Brett Dupree, for episode 101. Woo, over 100, only 7 more to go of the interviews before this podcast is over. I don't know if it's always a good idea to say that at the beginning, but I just like being honest. Today is 420, so it's time to get high. Just kidding, I do not smoke the ganja. But if you do, I don't really care. I'm libertarian on that stance. In the sense, you do what you gotta do to survive this crazy world that we live in. By crazy, today was the George Floyd verdict. And he got guilty on all 3 counts, which was not surprising and surprising at the same time. Like, either way, I wouldn't be surprised if he got not guilty because that's just, you know, the United States of America. But at the same time, the evidence was very much against him. In fact, things I didn't know. Like, they were putting him in the car before he slammed him to the ground and put his neck on him and murdered him in broad daylight while being videotaped. Still say videotaped, I'm old. But yeah, the feeling I have is because, yes, this is the beginning of my podcast where I talk about I am vulnerable because if I can't be vulnerable, how can I expect my guests to be? And there's honestly nothing else really on my mind at this moment because it's a moment, you know. I watched the verdict on Twitter on Unicorn Riot's feed, and I wasn't really planning on it when it came on, but I noticed it was there, and I decided to watch it, and it said guilty, and then the feed was really crappy, so the audio kept on going out, but I couldn't figure out. So I just heard the 2 guilty charges, and then but I didn't hear what he was guilty of, and then they went through each juror, and the juror was like, yeah, that's what we said, and then I looked, and it's like, holy crap, guilty. And the feeling of relief went through my body because, like, I know what would happen if he was innocent, and I don't want that to happen. And I don't want to come at this in the sense of, like, I don't want riots because property is important. I don't want riots because I don't want anyone to have a reason to riot, is the more thought I have. Because, as Martin Luther King said, rioting is the voice of the unheard or something like that. And reality, Martin Luther King is very whitewashed. I know my last year it's just been illuminating, but Martin Luther King's very whitewashed the way they're taught. He was one of the most hated men when he was murdered in America. He wasn't this beloved saint that people like to play him out to be. He was hated for what he did. And he would use the riots to manipulate the system and basically say, you better give me some progress towards what I'm asking for to show people that peaceful protest works, or they're going to riot. In a way, he wasn't that much different than the rioters because he was just using them as poker chips, which is intelligent. I'm not saying that to disparage him. He was smart. His goal was the liberation and freedom of his people, and he was going to do that by any means necessary. And his means necessary was recognizing the fact that people don't like violence, and he can say, hey, giving black people rights will make it so they'll protest nonviolently, or, you know, it's a good thing. But the feeling today is relief, just because, like, he was obviously guilty to a ridiculous sense. Very, very, very guilty. I remember when this happened, it was just heartbreaking, because, you know, my dad is, I'm half black, half white, and my dad is full black, so that's like, you know, seeing my dad up there. And it's like, George Floyd is not a hero. He's not a martyr. He's a guy who got killed. He's a guy who got killed who shouldn't have been killed. If he was guilty for counterfeit money, he deserved his day in court and to get the correct sentencing or whatever to happen. He deserved that. And that's all he is. Someone who deserved to be treated justly by our justice system and not murdered. He was more of a representation of what could happen to anyone with brown skin in this country. Because I just remember the jerk from CrossFit. It's like, George Floyd is a hero to the black community. No, George Floyd is not a hero. He is just a guy who a police officer happened to murder in front of a camera, crying out for his mama, just crying out because he just wanted to live. And he deserved to live. And it was just the knowledge to anyone with brown skin that that could happen to us. And not only that, the knowledge, that look on the face of that cop, that if it wasn't for that camera, it wasn't for the fact that I was recorded for all 8 minutes, you probably would have gotten off. Probably would have been a footnote. He might have been fired and then rehired somewhere else in a couple years. Because that's what happens. So to see him get that guilty verdict just felt relieving. I mean, we still have a long ways to go in this country, but it's just nice to know that every once in a blue moon, there's justice. And it feels nice to see justice. Don't really have a segue to go into our guest this week, so I will just do that. Alex Ray lived most of his life in deep insecurity, fear of failure, people-pleasing, imposter syndrome. But hidden underneath, he had life goals that were screaming to be set free. After hitting a rock bottom of his depression in 2017, he was desperate for change. And thus began his journey from deeply fearful to truly confident. And he learned how to become brave. Now here is my interview with the coach, Alex Ray. Hello, Alex, and welcome to my podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for showing up this fine morning. Can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are?
Sure. My name is Alex Ray. I am a bravery coach. I work with people who have some type of big life goal. It could be business. It could be like dream career, but you're stuck in indecision, fear of failure, and you just have not started yet. So I like to help people get started on that thing. And then I also take them through making it successful. The bravery comes in at like actually helping you get jump-started, because too many people sit in fear of failure and fear of what other people are going to think about them. And so they never end up accomplishing anything because they're just stuck all in the early stages.
One thing I've learned in doing podcasts is people who coach are generally, they coach what they've gone through. So
yes.
Did you feel like living in deep insecurity for a long time?
Absolutely. When I was a kid, and even through my early 20s, I was very, very insecure. And I thought that my insecurity, I could fix it if I could just gain more physical strength, because I thought of myself as very weak. So I ended up having this physical transformation. I had other people asking me, how did you do it? How did you teach me? I want to lose weight or I want to gain muscle. That was how I first actually got into fitness. I did fitness coaching, fitness and nutrition. And I started back in 2017. But since I was about 13, I knew that my like dream career, although I had no idea you could make money at it, I didn't really know what coaching was. I really wanted to help people face their insecurity. I wanted to help people grow their confidence because I felt very insecure and had a just full of insecurity.
So how did insecurity look like in your life?
For me, it showed up in three different major ways. One of them was fear of failure. I didn't take many risks as a kid, just kind of ended up working a job that I really didn't like and wasn't passionate about because it seemed safe and it would be a safe paycheck. I was also a huge people pleaser. It was really great at trying to wear masks all the time when I was around other people, because I really had this deep belief that who I was authentically was not enough. And so that ended up compounding where I kept being inauthentic to try to blend in and get people to like me. And then I would have more evidence for my brain of, hey, look, the inauthentic version of you is much more likable, clearly, because people are kind of liking this. So definitely don't be authentic. Last major area was imposter syndrome, where I constantly felt like I was kind of faking it in a crowd. Like if they only knew the real me, they definitely wouldn't like me or they wouldn't think I had anything important to say. And that became really evident in the early, back in like 2017, especially when I started coaching the nutrition and fitness, I felt like, oh my gosh, I actually didn't even charge any money for the first year of coaching. I coached for free for a whole year because I didn't think I was worth it. And I felt like a total fraud.
So how are these insecurities holding you back?
Well, with the fear of failure, I didn't really start a lot of things that I wanted to. As a kid, I had like dreams and aspirations of things that I wanted to be able to do, but because of wanting to please people and, you know, and not feel embarrassed, I guess, I wanted people to like me. So I didn't take risks. I didn't do things that scared me. I didn't do things that were kind of like the deep down parts of my identity. I hid them away. I hid my goals. I hid my aspirations. The reason that I started on this journey of bravery is because I actually had this little challenge that I think was after a TED talk that I listened to. I forget the guy's name now, which is really awful, but he had this dare program where he said, like, give yourself a dare every day, something that's uncomfortable, and go do it. And it could be like something silly, like go ask a stranger for $10 and just be awkward. And I started doing these things on purpose, and I started actually doing them like at work. I even, right before leaving, asked for a raise, even though I knew I was going to be putting in my 2 weeks, 7 days from then. As I started doing this, I started building my confidence, which is what I originally started trying to do with working out. And I got really disappointed when I had this brand new body and still no confidence. And I started realizing that confidence really comes through one moment of bravery at a time.
That's cool. That's a fun challenge. I remember one thing I did early on in my personal development to get out of my shell is I created something called the smile game. I would smile at strangers and see how many people would smile back.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was just since making eye contact for me at the time was a big fear, and having people judge me and look at me was a big fear. I just turned it into a game of smiling and then smiling back, and then practicing not taking them, not smiling back as not personal, as, oh, they just didn't want to feel good right then or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's always personal, right? Like, it really doesn't have anything to do with us. But I think those of us that deal with insecurity are really spend a whole lot of time in our own head and start looking for evidence outside ourselves for why there's something wrong with us.
What got you to start building your self-confidence and being getting to the point where you could actually charge for your coaching?
Originally, I was doing the fitness and nutrition coaching, like I said, and I was having wonderful results with my clients. A year after starting that business, I decided, hey, let's go full-time in this, because this impact that I'm having directly in people's lives is kind of what like 13-year-old me dreamed of being able to do. And now I see that I could charge money for it because I'm getting people results. It's working. I know what I'm doing. I was certified and all that stuff. So I was like, this is ready. This is going to be my new source of income. I started charging for it and quit my job 2 months later. Now, I was not confident yet at all. I mean, a little bit. I took the leap, but I severely undercharged. And my first year in business, I made a profit of less than $3,000. I had sold my car. I moved back in with my parents, lived off of savings. I knew that I wanted to make it work because it would, like, nothing was more important to me than being able to help people in this way that I really had felt called to since I was a kid. But I was still deeply insecure about it and still trying to maybe like overcome the first layer of, can I do it? But I still had not overcome another layer of insecurity of, can I charge for it, or at least charge a price that I could live off of?
So what got you to the point where you can get that? Where, how did you build your confidence?
So for me, it had to do with repetition, right? All of 2018, it was proving to myself over and over again, like, hey, I can charge more. And I started seeking out council, I started reading a lot more. I started listening to podcasts on life coaching. I started listening to motivational speakers, kind of all the different avenues. I'm very thankful for this friend that came along that year, and she looked at my numbers, and she's a financial advisor for people that like actually have money. And she's like, "Alex, you're making minimum wage here. Not even minimum wage. What are you doing?" She kind of sparked something in me where I realized, okay, there's a fear here of my own about charging and being rejected and people saying no or not being able to help people. It was still there. And that year, it was kind of like a mission to figure out what the heck was going on. I had an aha moment when I realized like my personal value I was getting from what I could do for other people. And because I was believing my value, my worth had to do with what I could do for other people, I was perpetually draining myself in order to help others. As I started studying that more and understanding it, and by the way, I was in therapy and everything because I also had severe depression and anxiety and was on medication and everything for that, was realizing, starting to understand how all of these different pieces fit together. And then we worked on understanding that like if humans are 100% valuable, right? There's not a way that we can increase or decrease our value. And so because of that, there's not really a need to try to go out and earn my worth through what I can do or my work or anything. I think that really was the turning point in I was no longer working to try to fill a gap. I took ownership of filling my own life and me being responsible for my joy and happiness, and what I got to do for other people was just kind of icing on the cake. And when I stopped seeking that external validation, that's what helped me start actually making money in this business and survive. And it also took my coaching to a whole new level because I was no longer trying to do the work for my clients. I was now empowering them to do it for themselves. And the success that I was seeing in my clients was starting to compound. Like I was seeing them really get much more effective results. And that was still in fitness. I didn't transition to life coaching until early this year when the pandemic started.
So I'm curious, people pleasing, that sounds like a positive thing to do because you're making other people happy. Can you elaborate about the problems of people pleasing and how that held you back?
So people pleasing, like the negative, yes, we do want to be helping people, right? Like that, but people pleasing becomes a problem when we are trying to seek validation through how other people feel about us. It's never done with malice or any ill intent at all, but people pleasing, when it comes down to it, is lying, and it's stifling who we are and what we value in order to try to impress other people and get them to like us. First of all, it's lying, right? It's not being authentic. And then two, it ends up being very draining for everyone involved because the people pleaser, me, right? I was trying to always control how other people felt about me at my own expenses. So I would do things that I didn't really want to do. So I was exhausted all of the time. For other people, it also was exhausting because they're like, never really got to know the real me. I just would go along with whatever they wanted to do. And I was constantly trying to control and manipulate how they felt in what looks like a good, positive way. But ultimately, it's not. It comes down to lying with a good intention, maybe.
So after you were able to gain this self-confidence, well, more self-confidence in the people pleasing, how did your life change? How did you feel?
Yeah, so it was kind of like everything from 2017 through 2019, like those 3 years all got compounded by the end of 2019 and into 2020. And I was like, all of these life lessons that I had been learning forever kind of all came for full circle. And it was this giant aha moment for me of realizing, like, oh, all of this has one single source. It's like the value. I was constantly seeking external value instead of just understanding that we're all enough. That was kind of a key piece. And then the bravery was the tool for me that built my confidence. When you take the pressure off of trying to seek external validation, you get to show up a whole lot more confidently because you start allowing your authentic self to show. And I started realizing, whoa, I didn't die. I said something here that was authentic, or I did that thing that was authentic, and I survived it. And so it started compounding the level of confidence that I had internally, which also had me going out and doing more things that scared me. It all started and continued, though, with one brave step after another. And what I like to teach my clients of just 10 seconds of bravery. Just go have fear, because bravery is not the absence of fear. It's just the willingness to go through it. So have it, let it be there, and then decide powerfully to go do it anyway. And you'll start being able to give your brain evidence for why the authentic you is actually, you know, not horrible.
There's also a feeling of freedom of living your authentic self. Kind of like you get to be Alex instead of mask wearing Alex.
When I was wearing masks to try to blend in, I was constantly creating more evidence for why the unmasked me was not lovable and there was something wrong with him. So definitely, like, it's a compounding issue for sure.
So what does it look like working with you?
I work with my clients for 3 months at a time. We start with setting a goal of what is this goal that kind of scares what I like to... Can I curse on here?
Sure, I'll bleep it out though.
Okay. Okay, well, scares the poo out of you. That's what I say. I help my clients. Several of them are like brand new entrepreneurs. They want to avoid making all of the lovely mistakes that I made early on of undercharging and looking for validation constantly through their clients instead of owning who they are ahead of time, which is so much better for themselves and their client. I help them get started and start goals that are, like I said, scare the poo out of them. We set a goal, what we want to achieve in the next 3 months ahead of time. And then I walk you through the process, hold you accountable. And I have several coaching tools that we use to keep you on track, help you start developing the confidence as you go.
Awesome. Do you have any fun success stories?
Yeah, I have two quick ones. One of my clients, she came to me and she wanted to start coaching weight loss. She had a phenomenal transformation herself, but was really intimidated about charging money for it, right? It's the same things I had. And she didn't want to have to do social media and all this stuff. Well, we worked together it was 2 months before she made her first offer. She put it out on Facebook. And within 1 week, she had $20,000 of signed clients. So it wasn't money all in the door at the same time, but it was all signed contracts. That was phenomenal. So she went from a year of unemployment to there. And then I had another client who just been working on general life coaching. And he texted me a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I just want you to know I was looking in the mirror and I didn't have my shirt on, and I realized for the first time that I'm not ugly and I'm not hideous. And I have these stretch marks and scars, but they tell a story. And I'm really starting to love the person I am. And that for me was powerful. It was like, here come the tears.
That's amazing. So we are coming to the end of our time together. One thing I like to ask my guests to give is 1 minute of motivation. You can imagine this as if you're going back in time to your 8-year-old self and you want to convey everything you need to live a happy and joy-filled life. But unfortunately, you only have a minute until you pop back into the future. Or you can think of it as condensing your entire life's message into a minute. So are you ready?
I would tell my younger self, there's a lot that could be headed your way. And it's going to overwhelm you in the moment. But no matter what comes along your path, you're totally capable of handling it. all you need to do is take one deep breath and have 10 seconds of bravery to decide to allow the fear to be there and to go do it anyway. Just one small baby step towards your goal every day, and we'll look back and realize that you've already made it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. I very much enjoyed listening to your story on how you were stuck in insecurity, people pleasing, and having a general anxiety about fearing a failure, and how that held you back from everything you wanted to accomplish in life. And then you sought out the physical strength aspect of being stronger, but then you notice that the outside transformation did not change the inside, and then you did the extra work to change your inside and gain more self-confidence, and started helping other people do the same, creating amazing results. So thank you so much for everything you do, and thank you for being on my podcast.
Thank you, Brad. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
May your day be special.
Thank you.
There you have it, folks. That is my interview with Alex Ray. I very much enjoyed listening to his story, as you just heard me say at the end of the interview. I truly appreciate hearing how people can get through their anxiety. And what's really important is working on the inside. A lot of times we think outside things can change our lives. Generally speaking, for instance, if you're poor and then you get money, and you're sad when you're poor, you're going to be sad with money, with everything that has not to do with money. All the money things will be happy with. The rest of your insecurities will still be there. Same with a car, relationship, no matter what it is. You need to always work on the inside as well as the outside. I'm not saying that getting into an awesome relationship can't change your life for the better, because of course it can. But you just can't think that one person is there to fix you. You just can't think the car is going to fix you. You can't think the job is going to fix you. Work on the inside, and of course all those beautiful things in life will make it easier. So I'm not saying I'll go for that as well. But if you're ready to take the next steps in your life, I invite you to get in touch with Alex Ray. For more tips on living a brave life, you can follow Alex on Facebook and Instagram at Coach Alex Ray. And if you want to overcome your insecurities and become brave, you can work with Alex online through his one-on-one coaching practice. Go to CoachAlexRay.com. to get started. That is episode 101 of the Joyous Expansion Podcast. Only a month and a half in the making. That's when I started this. Wow. So basically, you're at part one on 420, and this is going out a month and a half later. I don't even remember what I said. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to email me for any reason, email me at BRETTSDUPR2Es at joyousexpansion.com. Check me out at joyousexpansion.com. Also, Joyous Expansion on all your social media, LinkedIn, Facebook. Oh, not Facebook. Oh, no, because my SEO game is terrible. So that's Increase Your Joy. But LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but you probably can't find me there. Those are like Brett Dupree and Brett Dupree 1. But what else? What else did I used to say? I'm out of practice on this. But, you know, you're here. I love you for who you are. I appreciate you for who you are. And I am once again Brett Dupree, your champion of authentic joy, catalyst of transformation for the Church of Awesome, and Joyous Expansion Life Coach, wishing you once again to be love, to be joy, to be awesome. And now play that jingle.
JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Come and say hello to Brett Dupree. He is an inspirational life coach. Good for you and good for me. He turned my life from gray to blue. I'm sure he'll do the same for you. Get in touch and you'll see your life will change dramatically. JoyousExpansion.com. JoyousExpansion.com. Yeah.